Remember. We remember the crucifixion. And as we stand looking back at the crucifixion, we look beyond the crucifixion and we see what was on the other side. And that was an empty tomb and a risen Savior. And as we take that look back from the center of our faith, we also remember to take a look ahead. And that is to lift up our eyes from whence cometh our help. And we remind ourselves this morning as we look up and look ahead that the best is yet to come. He said, "Behold, I am coming again." He said the end times would be difficult and painful. And yet in those times, he said, to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us to wherefore and therefore comfort one another. You see, this morning as you look ahead, our ushers are coming. And they're gathered around the table of the Lord. I don't know about you, friend, but I'm thrilled about this table. Because for the first time in my life, I have found a place where there's room enough for everyone. Even me. At times in life, I've been in places that there wasn't room for me. I was that last one chosen on the playing field. I was the last one that got to see the last captain's pick. He mumbled something under his breath and looked at me and said, "We'll take Greg." You ever been there before? Isn't that how sin makes you feel? Like it's the only place for you, and yet it's not even a matter of making you feel at home. This morning, it's important that as your pastor, I remind the generations which are to come that this is a moment of reverence. This is a moment in which you and I set aside the things in our heart that sometimes keep us from the Lord. And we allow those things not to be the excuse to keep us from the Lord, but the things that prompt in us the desire to run to the Lord. And with humility and with reverence, we come this morning, and as waiting begins to play, the ushers begin from the table of the Lord. They begin to serve to you and I the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing that gives to you and I the place we finally fit. And the place we finally belong. From my heritage, which is a great heritage of growing up in a Baptist church, this was always the most quiet moment in the service, and yet the most active moment. Quiet because of reverence and respect, but active because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all of our unrighteousness. And looking through this crowd, I see that some of you need this moment of confession. You need this moment to quietly come before the Lord and be active in your faith and bring to His attention the things that would keep you from the blessing in this cup. And so as she plays, would you quietly make where you're seated an altar? Would you take the cup of blessing and the bread, which is significant as it represents His body, and would you make this a time of prayer? amazing, this kind of love. Do you recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that we literally sit, some of us stand, around the largest table this world has ever known? The table of the Lord's Supper stretches some 24,901.55 miles long. What does that figure represent? The circumference of our world. There's never been a moment that that table in your life was not filled and ready for you to come and remember the amazing love. You see, even last night while we slept, the table of the Lord was spread beneath a thatched roof in the Philippine Islands. It spread in front of the Chinese, the Japanese, and the Lebanese. That table was spread beneath the towering idols of India, before the great cathedrals of Europe. And someday, you and I must remember and remind ourselves, when the going gets tough, that table will spread from heaven to earth, and that you and I will be seated there because of the blessing that's in this cup. Ladies and gentlemen, take just one more moment. Take just this moment to give thanks now for your place at the table. This morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I begin in the 16th verse. Paul is writing and says to the church at Corinth, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we all are partakers of that one bread." You see, as Paul wrote this passage of Scripture, his heart was heavy. It was heavy because the church at Corinth was going through a very difficult time. There was factions in the church. It's not unusual for a church to have factions. Sadly enough to say, many times, that's where a church can be. This church wasn't divided once or twice. There was at least four factions that history tells us of that was going on as Paul wrote this letter of encouragement. They weren't just divided, they were subdivided. And yet this morning, as he writes to the Corinthian church, he writes to each of us that make up the church. And he says that as you gather around the table has this incredible ability to heal and to unify. So confident is he in taking communion. So confident is he in gathering around this table, he believes that if they'll return to the real meaning of this table, that it will heal the factions and the divisiveness in the local church. There was the problem of pride. There was the problem of indifference and irreverence in that church that day. And as he wrote, he called them back to the table. Back to not just taking communion, but remembering the true meaning of it. And he said, come to the table with humility. Come to the table with reverence. Put the table between each other. Not the walls. Not the offenses. Not the disappointments. Not the frustrations. Don't allow a spirit of unforgiveness to be that which is between two believers. But in this moment, allow one thing and one thing only to stand between you and those in the church. What was that one thing? The table of the Lord's Supper. The place that you and I can join with the Corinthian church and drink of this cup of blessing. He finishes by saying in the 11th chapter, For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on that night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, or when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance for me." And as he sat there at that table, we know that Scripture records that his followers sat around that table, and that he broke himself, or he broke the bread, which was symbolic of the breaking of himself, and he passed it to each of those 12 disciples, one of which would betray him, one who would betray him immediately, and all who would betray him over a period of time through different circumstances and events. So he sat there at that table that day as a dead man walking toward abundant eternal life that would be secured as he poured himself out of the cup and allowed his body to be broken for you and for me. In this moment, before we pray, before we have one of our ministers come and pray a prayer of thanksgiving over the bread, let this body of believers come back to the table and come back to the real meaning. Let us put aside our walls. Let us put aside our barriers. Let us put aside the things that separate us. And let us take this moment at this table to ask for the mercy and the grace through his body, that we might become unified and one. You see, nothing can build a church faster than unity. And nothing can destroy it faster than those who in factions practice negative relationships that take away and tear away at the fiber of a church's being. It'll tear a church and it'll tear a home. It'll tear a church, a home, and a marriage apart faster than anything. And yet, God says at the table, there's even room for the factions. There's even bread for the Judas that might quickly betray the body. And so this morning, that gives to you and I great hope, because even now with heads bowed and eyes closed, each of us can see that while we sit in this congregation or stand on this stage, we each have a place at this table. And this morning, before we reach for the bread, we take the very hands that desire the bread of forgiveness, and we begin to empty our hands. We begin to ask God to forgive us for practicing negative relationships, for being one thing here at the table on Sunday, and then being a Judas as we leave this table for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday and Saturday. So today, before we take the relationship of his body to forgive us, we bring our body that is divided and in factions, separated and distanced, torn apart by voids and rifts. We set them on this table. We believe in that same power that Paul believed, that God can do more as we remember him than we can as we run from him. Friend, right now, claim as you sit at this table the healing so needed for every relationship you have. Claim it right now in Jesus' name. Paul believed it could put the Corinthian church together again. I believe it can put any church, any believer, any relationship back together again. There's been a healing released in this house today. Now we're acting, each of us, on that healing. And as Pastor Bill comes, let us join him as he prays a prayer of thanksgiving over the power of this bread to heal and to unify.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for this privilege we have here today. We thank you for your body, which was broken for us. We thank you, Father, our bodies are mended on account of it, and that the bodies are mended, God, that there will be no division, there will be no disunity, God. That we would walk in unity in its fullness because of what you did. And we remember that here today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. And now with thanksgiving, take that bread. Let it begin to heal you. Let it begin to unify and make your heart, your house, your home as one. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of blessing, saying, "This cup of blessing is the new covenant. It's the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Here's the cup of blessing. You're about to experience a heavenly blood transfusion. By that very blood and by his very stripes, ye were and ye are healed. In Jesus' name. As Pastor Clint comes to pray over the blood, just begin to declare, "This blood's for me. This blood is a blessing. It's here that I find life and not death, blessing and not curse, destiny and not doubt." Pastor Clint, lead us in this prayer of thanksgiving for the blood.
God, we are so thankful that we serve a king that died for us, that went to battle for us, that spilled his blood for us. And God, we know and understand that there's power in this blood. God, it is for this blood that we are saved, that we are delivered, God, that we are new. God, and we thank you and we remember the awful death that you partook of. God, and we just ask that you would bring us to a new place through this blood, God. We thank you for the blessing that's in it, in Jesus' mighty name.
Would you drink from the cup of blessing in life? And as we stand to our feet, let us sing this powerful song together as a form of concluding this time together as we leave for another time and another place together.